Open it up to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 24. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, Give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son." And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Then he said, "God, do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day." But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, "See how this son of a murderer has sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door, and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him?" And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him and said, "Behold, this evil is of the Lord. Shall we... What? Should I wait for the Lord any longer?" "This evil is of the Lord. What? Should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We have Your Word. We can look. We can see real live situations that have happened and how You responded and how people responded. And we can evaluate it, and hopefully we can glean some wisdom for our own lives. That is why You gave us this Word and preserved it miraculously for thousands of years and through much onslaught of Satan. I pray that You would speak to us through this morning, and that we would have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. How long am I supposed to wait? Things are not good. You remember Saul was in a predicament one time, and Samuel said he'd be there at the appointed time to offer the sacrifice. Samuel didn't show up on time, and so he forced himself and offered the sacrifice, because how long does God expect me to wait? Should I continue seeking God when He doesn't seem to care? Does He expect me to wait until I shrivel up and die? Well, that raises another question, especially in this story. The question being, who is waiting on who? In Hosea 5:14 it says, "For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him." Now listen to what he says. "I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face." Yes. How long are we going to wait on the Lord? Tired of waiting on God. Maybe God is waiting on us.
That's right.
People carelessly offend God and assume it doesn't bother Him. I'm thinking of a situation in Numbers 12. You remember when Moses was a baby, Miriam's the one that watched him. She's quite a bit older than he was. Well, in Numbers 12, go ahead and turn there. We have a scenario where Big Sister and Big Brother felt like they had a right to criticize Little Brother. there's part of the equation they weren't keeping track of. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, which is probably talking about Zipporah. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And what does it say? And the Lord heard it. So, who appointed Moses? Did Moses appoint Moses?
No.
The Lord appointed Moses. So, big brother and big sister felt like, well, after all, I'm his big brother, and after all, I'm his big sister, and I changed his pants when he was a baby. I'm the one that took him out in the boat. After all, you know, has God only spoken by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us? Yeah, surely, they're just having their good time criticizing Moses' wife. Well, when you criticize Moses' wife, you're criticizing Moses because he chose her. That was his doing. When you criticize Moses, guess who else you're criticizing? God, because God chose Moses. So we need to be careful. We may really need God and maybe wonder why we haven't heard from God. And we may not consider the fact that we've offended God. And God may not be ready to pour a blessing on us because He may be waiting till we acknowledge our offense and seek His face. That's something to keep in mind. You must be in God's favor to receive God's blessings. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We must lower ourselves back to our appropriate place with an appropriate attitude before God can be reconciled to us to bless us. Well, what was God waiting on here? You see, in Deuteronomy 28, you're close to there, so turn back to Deuteronomy 28. God gave clear warnings as to what would happen if they did certain things. And one of the things here, he says, verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be, shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land and the increase of thy kind. He had just told them if they obey Him, all these blessings would come. And then He turned around and said, but if you don't hearken, all these curses will come. And one of the things He says, if you go on down, verse 52, and He shall besiege thee in thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, and thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward his wife, and of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for one of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And they read that and said, never. Never. I would never do that. God said, I'm going to prove it to you. You're going to challenge me to keep my word. And so, we're going to show you what you'll do. So in this situation, one of the things God was waiting on, he was waiting until his promised recompense had reached a certain level. They had forsaken him. They had not repented. The king thought that if putting a little sackcloth in there and covering it up with his robes and walking on the wall as though everything's okay, that somehow that would appease God. God said, we're not there yet. Elisha knew it. He sat there with the elders of Israel and said, we're not there yet. And after those women shared that with him, the king rent his clothes. And they said, ah, there's sackcloth inside there. Elisha said, we're there now. God was waiting until they were broken and humbled. God was waiting until the recompense of His Word was complete to a certain degree. God waited until they came to God's man, acknowledging God's program and authority. God waited until the king openly showed his dependence on God and humility before him. His sackcloth had to be exposed. God was waiting until the robe was rent. And then God gave a reprieve. Did they turn back to God? No. God had mercy on them because there was a lot of innocent people there who weren't necessarily a part of this. But God had to make a statement lest people mock God and say, well, that never happened. Well, it did. What are you waiting on God for? We are continually in a situation where we wait on God. But one thing that we need to do is make sure that God is not waiting on us. We need to mourn over our sin and wait for His comforting assurance. The Bible says in Matthew 5:4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What that means is, blessed are the repentant and the contrite ones, because when they have repented and been contrite to an appropriate degree, when it is appropriate, the timing and the situation is appropriate, God's comforter will come and say, it's okay. And you'll know it. But it's right. And we need to wait. We need to make sure that we have settled that. We need to make sure that God is not waiting on us to break. God's not waiting on us to give. God's not waiting on us to surrender. We need to make sure that if we are waiting on God, then in those areas He's not waiting on us.
Right.
What are you waiting on God for? Could God be using this to bring you around to His way and will? Could God be using this to perfect something in your life? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. What is God waiting on us for? That's what we need to know. That will help shorten the wait. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth in Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Poor guy. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me,
and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hey, we did it! God was waiting for something. We finally got there. We finally got what God was waiting for. And look what happens. And it came to pass, she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She felt like she got an answer from God. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son. Now, you notice after this she had other children too. So, why couldn't God just tell Hannah rather than put her through all the turmoil? It's not that simple. Mind and will conditioning is necessary. Penina had children without waiting. Does that mean she was favored over Hannah? Not necessarily. Hannah was being prepared for a Samuel. Penina maybe was not even that quality. That was, God could not use her for that. There was something in Hannah. God wanted to accomplish something. She was the vessel. Was it what she wanted to accomplish? Was it her plan? Was it her dream? No. Her plan and her dream was not being fulfilled. God had something bigger. God had something greater. And she had to go through this to be prepared for that. So what is God waiting on? Elizabeth and Zechariah were barren, had no child until they were old. The Bible indicates that she had a nickname, or at least a designation. She was called Elizabeth the Barren. It says Elizabeth who was called barren. There's probably distinguishing her from another Elizabeth who is not. So Elizabeth the Barren was probably her designation. It was a reproach. It was a shame. She was an old woman. She'd lived with that all her life. She prayed many prayers. She cried many tears. What, shall we wait on the Lord any longer? Was that her plan? Was that Zechariah and Elizabeth's plan when they got married? Was this the plan that they wanted to have? No. They probably planned to have as many children as possible. That was the typical Jewish idea. The more the merrier. No, it wasn't their plan. But they were being prepared for God's plan. John the Baptist was God's plan. The Apostle Paul spent about 5.5 years in prison when he felt he should be preaching and leading the churches. Was that Paul's plan? No, but God was establishing our New Testament scriptures. And he had to put Paul in prison to slow him down long enough to write. The necessity of writing when he couldn't speak was part of God's plan.
Yes.
Well, okay. So I'm waiting on God. It's very possible that God's waiting on me. But I can't always know what He's waiting on. I can't always know where we're going. I can't always know the whys. I can't always know what His plan is. So it's important to know what we should do while we wait. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, there's something to do while we wait. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Psalm 37:34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Psalm 37:9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 123:2, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us. That's something to do while you wait. Proverbs 20:22, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and He shall save thee. Turn to 1 Kings 17. First Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while. What was he doing there? Sitting by the brook. He's waiting. He's in God's waiting room. Did God forget about him? No. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Maybe God did forget, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Okay, we know the story there. He told her to bring him a morsel of bread. And anyways, turn to chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. God has a program. He has a plan. He's got something He's doing. And if I want to be His vessel, He may not need me necessarily every day. But when He needs me, He wants me to be ready.
Amen.
So He needs me to go tell Ahab it's not going to rain for 3.5 years except according to my word, and then run off and hide by the brook. Have a few things for you to do. I don't know, maybe he was busy reading the scriptures. Maybe God had something for him to do. Or maybe he just had to wait. But while he was waiting, does that mean he can decay and fall apart and grow cold and backslide? After 3 years, God comes and He needs an Elijah. Is Elijah still there? Is he still Elijah? Is he ready to go? Is he still in shape? Has he grown lethargic? Has he gotten fat and lazy? Are we willing to find our contentment in life inside God's will? Are we willing to be prepared and available whenever God is ready? Are we willing to be just a part of His plan? Joseph waited 13 years through trials and tribulations for God's promise. As a 17-year-old, God had given him some literal dreams and visions. As a 17-year-old, he had high aspirations. As a 17-year-old, he was his father's favorite because he was faithful, because he was godly, because he was dependable. Also, it had to do with the fact of who his mother was, but he was a faithful son. So, what was Joseph's plan?
What was God's plan? From 17 to 30, he was an Egyptian slave and prisoner. But it has the nerve to say, and the Lord was with him. And he was falsely accused and thrown in prison. And the Lord was with him. It's like, what does that mean? And God was with him. Can you imagine him trying to convince his relatives of that? Yeah, I know. But God is with me. God is blessing me. They'd say. Have you ever tried to do that? I remember we left the Baptist denomination and went through some valleys and hard times. Hey, God's leading me, relatives. God's leading us. God's hands upon us. Oh, you know? 13 years Joseph was waiting because God had given him a dream and somewhat of a promise. And 13 years he waited for that dream and promise. 13 long years of being a bond slave and then a falsely accused bond slave that became a prisoner. What was God waiting on? Joseph is a type of Christ. Joseph was 30 when God brought him up and established him. There's a number of things where Joseph was a type of Christ. And from 13 to 30, he had to be prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually to do what God had for him to do. You can't take a 17-year-old and make him the ruler of Egypt and do that without it ruining him. God knew what needed to be done in Joseph's life so that this grand plan that God had would not ruin Joseph, and therefore Joseph ruined the plan.
Right.
Now when Joseph was 60 years old, he could look back and say, wow, great is God is wonderful. God is so wise. Oh, I'm so glad God put me through 13 years of college before He gave me this opportunity. But those 13 years, he didn't know the plan. He had no idea that he was going to be ruler of Egypt. He didn't know what God was going to do. So what did he do while he was waiting? He was faithful. He didn't say, oh, I'm down here. I'm a slave in Egypt. And my family don't know about me. God has forsaken me, so therefore I'm going to yield to temptation. He didn't do that. He was the best servant and he was the best prisoner. He did the best he could with what he had. And God bless. Abraham waited 25 years for the son that God personally promised him. 25 years. Was that Abraham's plan? No. No, it was not Abraham's plan. In fact, Abraham got a little impatient there, him and Sarah, and messed up some of God's plan by having Ishmael. God had a larger plan. Hebrews 6:10 said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God had made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. What did he do while he waited? Well, God said to Isaac in Genesis 26:4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. What did Abraham do those 25 years while he was waiting? He kept his commandments, his statutes, and his charge. I want to encourage you this morning to seek his face and wait for his answer. Isaiah 40:27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall be faint and weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If we are not busy doing the known will of God, then we cannot expect to discover the unknown will of God.
Right.
If we are not busy about keeping His statutes and commandments and His charge, then we will not be there when the date of the promise was meant to be given. We will never see the promise. We will never see the fulfillment because we won't be there. God will show up ready to bless. Where'd he go? He's gone. He's not there. I can't bless him. I can't fulfill my promise. He flaked out. He was overthrown in the wilderness. I wanted to give him a land flowing with milk and honey, but I couldn't. They were overthrown in the wilderness. You will never find the future unknown will of God unless you are doing the present known will of God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. There are story after story in the Bible, like the Hannah Peninnah story, Elizabeth, Zechariah. Every time God had something big He wanted to do, He had to put somebody through a trial to prepare them so He could get something big out of them. Why is it that when God said, okay, it's time to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, He increased their bondage? After Moses went to Egypt, He increased their bondage. He made it harder than it was before. Because He knew, even then, they wanted to turn back to Egypt. Even then, after doing that, after making it so hard, after destroying the land of Egypt, when they hit some hard times, they wanted to go back. So even after all of His preparation, trying to prepare them for going forward, they still wanted to go back. Could God have prepared them more? No, I think He prepared them as much as He knew He could.
Amen.
We limit God, if we're not careful. We can limit the Holy One of Israel. The Bible says that. What are you waiting on God for? How many of you are waiting on God for something? Yeah. I think more of you, if you think through it a little bit, you're waiting on God for something. Is there something you need? Is there something you're praying about? Is there something you're looking to? Is there something you take before the Lord, and you're waiting on God, wondering how's God going to answer this? What's going to happen? What are you doing, God? Have you forgot about me? He hasn't forgotten. He's got a plan. My responsibility, number one, make sure He's not waiting on me to get right. Make sure He's not waiting on me to submit. Make sure He's not waiting on me to break and to repent and to humble myself. Number two, realize that He may be waiting on some maturing, some conditioning, some growing, some molding, some polishing
because he has something bigger planned than I can now handle.
Yes.
He has something special, and I'm not quite ready for it. It's not because he's forgotten me. It's not because he doesn't care. He saw all of Hannah's tears. He saw all of Elizabeth's tears. He saw Zechariah's questioning. I'm a priest of God. We're, according to the law, they were blameless, the Bible says. Why hasn't God given me a son? An heir? I've been faithful. I'm one of the most faithful priests in all the priests I know. I'm the most faithful. God's given them sons. Why hasn't God given me a son? God said, because your son is going to be John the Baptist. If we could just trust Him. Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is waiting on something. If I'm waiting on God, it's because God is waiting on something. Find it out if you can. It may shorten your wait. But while you're waiting, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then, as you go down that road, as you work on that project, you are heading for the answer. You are progressing toward the promise. Because as you become more like Christ, as you become more godly, more mature, more submitted, more in line with His will, you are on a rendezvous with your answer. You're going to meet up with God's promises. But any other course will lead you away from them. Gehazi. I think God had big plans for Gehazi. I think he was going to be the one who took Elisha's place the way Elisha took Elijah's place. He was the right-hand man for Elisha. He was waiting, but he took a shortcut. He decided that there was a shorter route to what he wanted. And instead of waiting on God's plan, he began to implement his own plan. And in doing so, he forfeited God's plan. Not only did he just forfeit God's plan, he forfeited his own plan. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've got to come to the place where I have this deep inner conviction that God can deliver me, O King, from thy burning fiery furnace. But if He doesn't, I'm not going to bow to your idol. I'm going to wait upon God. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to believe His promises. I don't know what He's got planned. If Joseph had flaked out in 10 years, it would have been a wasted 10 years because what God was planning, all that 10 years would have been thrown away. If Abraham had quit after 24 years of waiting,
It would have been a wasted 24 years. Wait on the Lord. Shall we wait on the Lord any longer? Oh, yeah. There's no other way. There's no other way. There's no option. To wait on the Lord means to continue in His plan. You're not waiting on the Lord when you're going your own route. When you're giving up. When you're saying, okay, give me the wheel. You're not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is, like the psalmist said, our eyes are upon Him until He have mercy upon us. I know that every young person in this room has a dream, has a thought of their future. Am I going to get married? Am I going to be single? Am I going to have children or not have children? What's my future? Every young person in this room thinks about these things. Are you willing to wait on the Lord? You say, but I've cried many tears. Well, you may cry many more. Hannah cried until God brought her around to where He wanted her. And as soon as He brought her around to where He wanted her, bingo. That was it. That was what He was looking for. That's we did it. We're there. God said, wonderful. Hey, angels, you see that? All right, we're ready to go now. I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know what you're waiting on God for. It may be a health issue. It may be your future. It may be a job or a plan for finances, you know, that Brother Paul. It may be who knows what in your life. I know some of the things that folks in our congregation here are waiting on and praying towards. If you continue on His course, you are heading straight towards your answer. I can't tell you how far it is, but I can tell you, if you continue on His course, you're heading straight for His answer. And when you get there, and when you see what His answer is, and you understand, oh, now I get it, you'll be glad. You'll be so glad that you waited on the Lord. And the fulfillment of His promise in His time and His way will be so wonderful that it'll erase all the sorrow beforehand that brought you there. Go ask Elizabeth and Zechariah on the day that they named John the Baptist, when they saw him growing up and waxing mighty before the Lord, the prophet of the Lord, the forerunner of the Messiah. Elizabeth said, this is better than I thought it would be. I could have never imagined. Let's stand. Our God is good. Our God, His ways are past finding out. He's hard to figure out sometimes. But He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. He has a plan. It's a good one. Wait for it. Don't try to shortcut and get something your own way. Wait. Stay on course. Have that firm conviction that if I stay on course, we're going to get there. If you get off course, you'll never get there. You'll get Satan's counterfeit. You'll get a cheap replica at best. Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray?
In order can I come in to answer Esther? Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape from the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Sometimes God gives us answers. You think, okay, you got it now. But there may be other people that still need answers.
Right.
And their answers may have to come at your expense.
Right.
Don't think just because you've come into the kingdom that you're immune.
Right. Right. Your coming into the kingdom at such a time as this may not be the end of the program, but the beginning of the program. But still, even there, the plan only got better. It only got better. And the farther they went into it, though at times it seemed like, we're going to wreck. The ship's going to sink. No, I just want you out here at this time so I can walk on the water. See? You needed to be here. You needed to go through this. You needed to be right there so that we could have this experience. It's a good plan. It's worth waiting on. It's okay to cry. It's okay to suffer. It's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to pray. It's okay to pray in the bitterness of your heart. That's part of it. That's part of it. Waiting on God doesn't mean just an airheaded optimist. It was necessary, the prayers and the cries and the tears and the time spent with God. That was a necessary working. It's okay. Yes, sir.
Brother Mark, it just reminds me of Jesus waiting. I mean, he's a perfect example. He was waiting for the cross. And as he was waiting, what was he doing? He was doing what the Father wanted him to do.
About his Father's business. Right. That's right.
So he's with us when we're waiting. If we're doing
what he wants. That's right.
As long as our waiting conforms our plan to his.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Even if we have to give up something.
There's some necessary conditioning of our hearts and minds.
Anna had to give up Samuel.
Right. Had she had Samuel years before, it wouldn't have been that way. God knew what she needed. But God gave her other children too. But God wanted a Samuel. And if you ask her now, she's in heaven. If you ask her, said, are you glad God chose you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm glad God chose me. You mean even though you went through all that? Oh, yeah. God makes it all worth it in the end.